Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's finally here. The NCAA tournament is upon us. Happy Thursday. More importantly, happy March Madness. Woo! We made it. Carter Elliott's in the building. This is our final full episode of the week before the first weekend is over. We'll return on Monday to break down everything that's happening. We are going to spend the rest of our week content-wise focusing on all the previews and recaps for all these beautiful, marvelous college basketball games. Cartel, or should I say Ryan Gosling? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, it is a globe, too. I didn't know. Were you asking?
I did not ask if that's a globe behind you.
Oh, okay. I misheard you. My Mac upstairs is a little bit of an older model, so sometimes the sound gets a little bit muffled. But I'm doing great, Gregory. I'm ready to get to the games. I know I said it before, but this is our time. If I wasn't doing this, if I wasn't doing sleepers, the level of locked in I would be for this first 2 days and this first weekend would be astronomical levels. I'm extremely excited to fire up the game. Michigan State starting it off, first game of the tournament, really going to set the tone, I guess, for where my mental well-being is going to be. But I'm very excited to finally actually get to the games being played.
Yeah, me too. I can't wait. This is going to be super fun. Going to be just a blast. We have so many games put together that we put for the Discord. The bracket contest is going to be fun. We're paying out like $1,000 for all five of the contests that we're doing. We discovered that we're making money now, and we just had to have like a meeting on that. That's new. We've never done that before.
Yeah, we got QuickBooks. Watch out. Cool.
By the way, why are you upstairs? Why aren't you normally in your basement for this?
I am, but you know what? I wanted to switch it up because I really think that people don't think I have a house, and I'm getting sick. Okay. All right. Yeah. A lot of slander, a lot of things going on. Also, I think I need to make a quick statement about this. The commenters, they're not alone. My wife is extremely infuriated with me that I leave things in the background of our recording. It drives her crazy, and I'm going to be better about it. So for anyone who comes to see the vacuum in the background, that might be moved shortly. She's not a fan.
You did a great job. You're so on top of removing things from the background. The first thing you said on this episode is, did you see that globe behind me right next to that Michigan State sign, right next to the checkerboard art pieces and whatever that thing on the left is that I've never seen before?
It's a headband carrier.
Like, you just can't avoid it. You're so authentically you.
You see the backpacks right here too?
I do. You're one of one, Cartel. I truly love it. Why are you on Twitter complaining about being compared to people you look like?
Because I think there's a lot of lazy comps going on out there. Everyone's just throwing out the light skinned guy that comes to their mind. Like, I was just expecting a little bit more creativity.
Okay. Of the four people that people have been saying you look like that you mentioned in the video, which one do you think you look the most like, and which one do you think you look the least like?
The Sean May one's pretty on par, I must say.
That one picture of Deron Williams where he's wearing the super baggy jersey looks like you.
Bro, that profile picture that I got right now, one is actually spot on. And, like, I also didn't know that Deron Williams, like, broke his jaw, and that's what caused him to, like, get in shape, like, because he couldn't really eat solid foods. Didn't know that. I'm definitely in the market for someone to break my jaw now. Mm. Dead ass.
I'd be too weak to do that. Otherwise, I would offer.
I think you could. You got sneaky forearm power.
I have sharp fingers, but that's about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, was there a reason you picked Ryan Gosling as the non-light-skinned person that you believe you look like?
Only because you showed me that Ryan Gosling was an Oscar performance.
Yeah. He did. He shut down the Oscars, made it a Gosling concert.
Yeah, that was in my head at the time of making the video.
Got it. Okay. Idris Elba, another one.
Yeah. Handsome fella.
Yeah, you seem to be comparing yourself only to men who have been named the sexiest man alive.
I mean, well, who would I be if I came on there comparing myself to ugly people?
I just think you look a little more like Luke Combs than Ryan Gosling.
I'd be fine with that. He has a beard.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. By the way, Norlander did the Ask Every Coach Who Their Favorite Musician Is. Couple bad coaches choosing Luke Combs this year.
Shout out to Dusty May. Best choice with Rod Wave. And he released his playlist too. Elite playlist by Dusty May. It's got range. It's got everything you need. It's got a lot of Rod Wave in there. I really like Dusty's chances in the tournament now. That really helped me decide. He might put Boo in hell now.
Yeah, that might be my future head coach, by the way, if you believe the rumors right now. He's the name at the top of the board for anyone who knows anything at Michigan right now. So we'll see. I would like Dusty. Okay. All right. Should we get to the show? What's your YouTube comment of the day? Oh, sorry. Tired. No. Excuse me. You have to address my Kevin McCulvers.
That was a pretty good nickname. Also, someone called me Dimitri Beans and Rice, I think it was. I think Dion called me Nigel Pack. I don't know. I guess like Lunch Pack. Kevin McCulvers is really good. I give you credit for that. That was special.
I was really proud of that. It was 4 minutes after I watched your video, and I was trying to make a Jackson Kohler pun so I could compare you to a white guy. And then I realized Kevin McCullough is opting out of the rest of the season, running from the grind, and it reminded me of you, and I landed on Kevin McCulvers. Okay, to the YouTube comment of the day.
This YouTube comment comes from Uncle Fetz, and I picked this comment because it's one that I think provides a little bit of knowledge that I didn't know before, and I love learning. That's a lie. I don't love learning, but this comment's cool. The region is called the Mountain West and basically the Rocky Mountain Corridor from Montana down through Idaho, Wyoming, Colorado, Utah, and probably finishes in Arizona, New Mexico, although those might be considered Southwest. BYU will have more fans because the local LDS population will show up. Plus, there's just a massive size difference in the schools. Thus, many more alumni for BYU spread across the country. I like Duquesne's story, but this will not be an upset. So just a little bit of geography lesson for you there. I don't think that certain schools that are in like that mountain area like being called West Coast schools. I think that triggers them.
Got it. Yeah, I guess they're not near the coast. To be honest with you, I don't like to think about anything west of the Mississippi. Other than California. I'm interested in California. I'm interested in Oregon because like I want to go to the Nike headquarters, and I guess Washington's fine. Eli tells me it's great. I won't ask you to name Eli's last name. We'll just move on. But anything that's not a coastal West Coast state or Western state, I'm out on. I don't need any of the Montanas or the Dakotas or anything in there, to be honest with you.
What about Texas? Where'd that fall?
Texas is south to me, which is its own set of problems.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Too much mountain talk for my liking. Let's move on to the Discord. Hey, a crazy couple of days in the Discord. Once again, we said on yesterday's episode that we're setting basically records of people joining right now. I'm going to shout out a bunch of other names that I see. And by the way, I might be missing some here. 100%. We're busy. That's the nicest way I can put it. I think I've worked more in the last 3 days than I did at my entire corporate job for 4 years combined. That says something about who I was in corporate America. And it also says something about my love for this, but, yeah, a bunch of people that joined that I don't think we've shouted out yet. Izzo's friend Jake is here. Holden Fidoa is here. Decrump3, Cobster, James.D, Kristen Winningham, John, Boiler in the Void, Lindsay3403, D Smith, OMIL61. Did I already say Jeff? I don't know. There's another Jeff. Brent Niven, T Blizzo, Ryan the Lion, but better. And this Ryan the Lion is a Michigan fan. Love that. Noah V and Sparty for Life. AK Short 40. C-Pod the Goat. Another Jeff. And now a brand new Greg. Just Greg. Shout out to all of y'all. Those are all the new users in the last 24 hours. And there's probably going to be some people that join in the next 24 hours that wonder where their shout out is. I'm recording this at 3:41 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday. So if you join after that, you miss your cutout or your shout out until next week. Carr, we are at 250 Discord members as of today. We weren't even at 200 24 hours ago. How do you feel about it all?
Feeling great, man. I love to see the community grow. It's also like getting a little bit more diverse too, I think, which I love. Like there's a heavy Purdue contingent, a heavy Illinois contingent, but we gotten like some other teams that are getting involved, which I really like to see because I'd like to get representation from every college team in there. And I think we're working towards that. So I love to see it.
Yeah, just people who love ball talking ball. Also some people who love you talking you, and probably some people who hate me talking hating me. It's a best of all worlds here. I really love it. And if we get to 300, I'm getting a tattoo. I have no tattoos. I have none. If we get to 300 before the end of the NCAA tournament, I'll get a tattoo. We have 250.
Have I ever asked you where you stand on needles?
I am not afraid of needles. I don't okay. Like them, but I don't mind them.
Like a shot doesn't throw you off or anything like that?
Come on.
Okay. Or how are you like pain tolerance wise? Do you consider yourself a guy that has a high pain tolerance?
This is the thing. You know my stance on illness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Be mentally tough, okay? Like respond. And I know I said that a couple months ago, and the universe really, really stuck it to me. We both had some colds, some big sicknesses in the next coming weeks. You know what I did? I drank some water and I put on my big boy pants and I got through it, okay? A needle. Of course, there's a time and a place for a needle. They can help. But no, am I like, no, a needle can't do it.
All right. Let's scale it back, Mr. Beast, anti-vax. But what about pain tolerance-wise?
For the record, I'm saying I'm pro-vax. Like, go get the needle if you need it.
I know, Gregory. I know. The Kevin McCulver thing is still sitting in me, and I got to get my get back eventually. I'm workshopping things in my head this whole episode, so stay tuned. Okay. Answer me about the pain tolerance thing.
What pain? How's my pain tolerance?
Yeah, like, are you like good? Like, you know, like
I think extremely high.
Okay, because tattoos can be painful at certain points.
Yeah, I assume so.
Okay, I just want to let you know it's no walk in the park.
Okay, tough guy. That's what we're doing here.
Like, hey, tough guy, you're not guy, pal.
I got a couple of tattoos. It's not that easy, Greg. Okay, all right. We'll see. We get to 300. We'll see. I hope I don't have to see for the record. I don't want to get a tattoo. Don't want to do it. But am I a man of my word? Yes. So if we get to 300, I will get a tattoo. All right. To the comments from the Discord. Join the Discord. Link in the description of this video. $9.99 a month. We did have some people ask about that, by the way. Join on a desktop or a laptop or on the internet browser on your phone. Just don't do it in the Discord app on your phone, and it'll be $9.99. It's like 13 bucks if you try to do it in the mobile app. Why? Because Discord takes some fees. Don't do it that way. Do it the other way. Here we go. Dane Game starts us off and says, if Doug McDaniel goes to Maryland, becomes a first-team All-Big Ten honor student that plays all home and away games next season, would he be your favorite player again, or would you be bitter about it? Is that my question? Is that directed at me?
That's got to be for you.
I'd be a huge Maryland fan.
You'd be a Terp?
I'd be a huge Maryland fan if that happens. And I don't like myself for admitting the truth on that.
You don't have Terp in you.
I go where Doug goes. I like he's mine for better for you. Don't abandon your son when things get tough, right? You find out your son's a drug addict. Oh, you're not welcome back for Christmas. Like, no, come here, son. I'm going to get you some help. We're going to get through this together. And I love you.
So that's how you feel about Doug and his academics?
I love and respect Doug and the pioneer that he is for academia. Coop says, if you could guarantee a title this year for your respective teams, pretend Michigan is in. That hurt so much more than you know, Coop. I know you didn't intend that to hurt, but just adding parentheses, pretend Michigan is in, is the meanest thing anyone's done to me in weeks. How many subsequent years would you be okay with missing the tournament before getting frustrated? So win a national championship this year. How many years after that would you be okay with missing the tournament before you get frustrated?
Four.
It's a lame answer. It's a bad answer. I'll give you the correct answer. One. If you're a championship program, you don't miss the tournament. One. Win a natty and then go do it again. One. I'm not like, no, there's no like, oh, it's okay. We missed the tournament because we won last. No. Make the tournament. Be a good program. That's what it is. My program is not a good program, by the way. So I get like, it sounds stupid for me to say that. My program's in shambles. Shambles. It's horrible. We had to run the bad man out. Whew. Hoop says he's convinced that anyone who thinks Purdue is boring to watch has not watched Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you right now, Virginia is not boring to watch. Virginia is just awful to watch.
Yeah, they're just bad.
They're just bad.
Just bad. Tony Bennett can still coach, though. I would like it if he ended up in Michigan. I know a lot of people think I'm crazy for that.
The only thing I'll push back on you on that is I don't know if Tony Bennett he's got a little bit of that old guard in him. Like I don't think he understands how to navigate some of the things because the roster he constructed this year was brutally awful.
Tony Bennett's dip right now reminds me of the Beeline dip after the 2013 title for the runner up appearance. Like, ooh, two or three really horrible years. And then he like figured it out 5 years later. I think,
weren't at least those offenses and defenses good or something? Anything good? Really.
Michigan had some injuries. That's the only part of it. But like, this is just a bad batch of players.
Gotcha.
He needs to get new players in. We'll see what happens when, maybe he'll leave. I don't know. There's rumors he'll leave. Burner 605 says, I hold on to the idea of teams that win the title usually have a few pros. Doesn't mean they're good NBA players, but they are NBA players. Feel like not that many of the really good teams this year have multiple. Your thoughts?
I mean, the multiple word, I think, is holding some weight there. I think that all of the national championship contenders, like picks that people would, you know, put to win it all, have NBA players on their team.
Yeah, at least one, usually.
Yeah, Purdue, Edie, Kentucky, hella options. Houston, Jamal Shedd, UConn, hella options. Even like a North Carolina.
Wait a second, Jamal Shedd.
Jamal Shedd is going to be a really good NBA player.
You don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tugler's their pro, and he's not there right now.
Hey, Jamal Shedd's going to play a long time in the NBA.
I don't know if he will. I hope he does. I like him, but I don't think he's getting drafted. I think he's like a two-way guy.
I think he's a first-round pick.
He's small, man. He's really small.
Guy that leads teams, plays defense, distributes the ball. Like, good guy. Houston, culture.
If Frank Mason can do it, I guess. But he strikes me as just like good college guard. Brandon Paul's AOL account says, what are your favorite nicknames for opposing schools/teams? For example, calling Duke Puke, Indiana Losers, or his personal favorite, Perdon't. Not trying to stir things up with Purdue fans. I respect the program, but that's a top-notch nickname to throw shade on a school.
I'm going to show my colors here, I guess. I don't have, like, any type of name for Michigan that I like. Like, I don't do the Walmart Wolverine thing. I don't really have anything for them, to be honest with you. Maybe that makes me a bad fan. I know a lot of people think I am a bad fan, so.
I think Walmart Wolverine is a good one. I don't really use these terms frequently or ever. I don't mind the Duke Puke one, but only because I envision Riley Davis saying it and then giggling to himself after, and it just cracks me up every time. Rowlett, Texas Boiler, says, what officials have been so bad they have no right officiating any games in the tourney? I'm going to go first on this one, and then you can chime in. I'm exposing myself here. I do not have a clue like what personal officials are, because I think if you're looking up scouting reports on officials and you have beliefs on certain officials have certain skill sets or have things against teams, you are not the type of fan that I want to be personally. I respect you being the type of fan you are, but I am not ever going to be like that official. Stripes are stripes to me. I don't need names. I don't need faces. I know there are, like, people feel a certain way about Teddy Valentine. People feel a certain way about Courtney Green. That's not ever going to be me.
Yeah. I feel the exact same way. Greg took the words right out of my mouth there. Also, Tim Donaghy is my hero.
I'd like a Mount Rushmore of your heroes at some point, if you don't mind.
If I was a ref, the calls that I would miss to see moments and make things happen would be generational.
Yeah, it would be. Crispy K says, going to the MSU game on Thursday. Thoughts on me wearing my number 11 jersey to the game? Is this a bad look because of initials, or could this be the start of something special for AJ? The last time I wore it, we beat Michigan in the Big Ten tourney final in 2019.
So is it an actual Hogarth jersey, or is it just an 11 jersey?
Wasn't Appling 11? Oh, excuse me. Wasn't Redacted 11?
Yeah. Also, wasn't technically Aaron Henry 11 for the first, like, 1 or 2 years, and he went to zero before he left? I think that.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
True.
It might have been true. I don't remember what Henry was to start his career.
He was 11. I know for a fact he was 11.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah, I would assume if you have an 11 jersey, I would assume you did not get an 11 AJ Hogarth jersey. If you did, we'll reach out and make sure you're okay. I don't know. Wear the jersey. I like
jersey. Yeah, I'm offered just wearing whatever jersey you want outside of wearing redacted jerseys. I will never ever forget going to Columbus and seeing someone rocking a Keith Appling jersey literally like a week or two after the thing, like the murder happened. That's just a crazy move.
Well, and like, so there's, to me, there's levels to this. Like, if you're just wearing a Michigan State 11 jersey that doesn't have a name on the back,
yeah,
wear it, whatever, fine. When we were in Columbus, the one Card's talking about, this man had a lime green custom ordered jersey that had the name Appling in big letters on the back, and he wore it literally like 4 days after Keith Appling was arrested for murdering an elderly woman. That was absurd. Like, the concept of being the fan and thinking, oh, this happened, that's funny, I'm gonna wear my Appling jersey, that's insane to me. The other one was, we went to Moneyball in the summer. And
that was insane too.
3 days after Miles Bridges had been, again, arrested, turned himself in or whatever for the accusation of beating his baby's mother, we have a dad and like a toddler in a Miles Bridges jersey with Bridges on the back to Moneyball in the summer. It's like
a Hornets jersey too, by the way. It wasn't even a Michigan State jersey. I'm not laughing, but like, wow.
And you know that parent is just like, here, 3-year-old, put this on. We're gonna go support Miles Bridges in public right now. Like, at a certain point, like, maybe draw the line on fandom a little bit, and maybe don't send horrible messages to your future generations. But that's not a Michigan State-specific problem. It's just the only two incidents I've ever encountered that with, and both happened to have Carter right there with me. So, yeah, wear the jersey. Just don't wear jerseys in those settings. Malik Perry has a flurry here. I'm going to read them all. Do you think the transfer portal should start after March Madness is over or not? This is more so for Carter. I noticed that J.J. Taylor is in the portal. Is that a player, in your opinion, MSU should try to get? This is for Greg. Who would you want as your new coach, and 5 players from the transfer portal?
Okay, a couple things. I do think it should wait till after March Madness, in my opinion, to open up. There's a kid from Pepperdine who entered last week, and he already committed to Bama literally 6 days later. It's just crazy to me. I think it should be a waiting thing. The fact that it's going crazy right now, right before March Madness, I don't know. Call me old man yelling at clouds. That's just how I feel. In regards to J.J. Taylor, I do not want him. I think that J.J. Taylor will be a basketball player that can get stats on a team, but he will never do things that contribute to winning basketball.
Interesting. I want to call this out with fans in general. This is, again, not Michigan State specific. It kind of is Michigan State specific, actually. You guys are doing this thing right now where it's the first wave of portal players, right? And let's be real about it. All the players entering the portal this week, losing players, bad players. Like, Could they go somewhere and help? Yes, they could. But like these right now, being 3 days into the portal and being like, Maxime Renou is the number one player in the portal. Wait 2 weeks and he's going to be the 72nd best player in the portal. Like,
I disagree with that. But I know where you're going with this. I agree with that somewhat, but not with the Renou thing. That dude's actually really good.
My point on this is it's incredibly stupid of every Michigan State fan who is going up every time any player enters the portal and quote tweeting it and being like, really hope Michigan State staff reaches out. This is a great one. He would make such an impact. No shit. Every player in the country would make an impact on every team in the country. You don't like your coach doesn't even use the portal. And I get you're trying, like you hope he does. You have a game in 24 hours. Go support that team. Stop lusting over Stanford centers who your staff is never going to reach out to. Like there's no connection there. So like, I understand it's different. Like Trey Townsend, good one. I think Michigan State might actually reach out to Trey Townsend. Caleb First, guy I think Michigan State might actually try to. We don't need to do every single random player that's in the portal and be like, wow, he'd look great in green and white. Hope the staff – just can we get some self-awareness on this? Like,
Let me do my part, bro.
We're 3 days into this. I don't need – at this rate, we're going to have 720 tweets that he would look great in green and white, and you hope the staff reaches out. Like
– I need you to put some respect on Raynaud's name.
He's fine.
He's better than fine. That dude is nice. He's gonna be he's gonna be at probably North Carolina next year.
I think he'll be at West Virginia next year on an 11-win team.
Can we make a bet?
Sure. We should honestly. That'd be a fun offseason game for the Discord. A portal. Where will this player go? Portal game. Like the moment they get in, you got to submit, and then that'd be really fun.
I like that.
Guys, see, join the Discord. We'll do fun stuff like this. And Malik's question to me, who would I want as my coach? Five players in the transfer portal. I don't have any players in the transfer portal to name for you that I want. I have no idea. I'm going to let the portal solidify a little bit. No players that are currently in the portal are players that I want on my Michigan team next year. The coach that I want right now is John Calipari. I know I sound delusional for that. If John Calipari is not an option, which he's most definitely not an option, I would like Dusty May or Jerome Tang. Personally, I would be happiest with Jerome Tang.
I don't like playing the transfer portal game for my rival team, but I will say this. I think that Kane and Carlisle would be a really, really good fit with y'all. And I believe y'all were in his final five, if I'm not mistaken.
Why though? Like, what does that even mean at this point?
I think he's a really good point guard.
Okay, but like Michigan doesn't know who their coach is and is going to have zero returning scholarship players, and we're talking about this guy would be a good fit. Like, we don't even know the fit.
Not a good fit. I think he's a good player. Like, you get him, you could put players around him. I think he's a top 25 kid out of high school. He just made the mistake and went to Stanford.
You're right. I can't do it. I don't know how you guys have the energy.
I'm lusting over everybody, man. Hey. Stojakovic's kid that just entered the portal from Stanford too. What's up? Like, hey, big head.
I don't know how you have the energy for this. All I do is Sin says, who are your picks for mid-major coaches to play their way into bigger coaching jobs during this year's tournament? Guys like Shaka Smart, Holloway, Dusty May, etc. I have two. You got any ideas?
I think the obvious one is Drake's coach, like package deal, maybe even like DeVries and Tucker DeVries for another year. The other one I'd probably give a shout to. I think there's no chance that it actually happens, but I do think there's a world where New Mexico goes on a massive run and somebody opens up the big bag for Patino.
That'd be fun. I would like to see that happen. Pat Kelsey was the first one that came to mind. Just like if Charleston were to make a Sweet 16, I think he'd immediately get hired. He's kind of hovering as a good option anyway. I like your Darian DeVries shout out at Drake. Yes, his son has 1 year of eligibility and his son would be a superstar. A high major could basically immediately have a good season if they hire that package duo. Really skeptical what he would do outside of that, but I guess we'll have to see. And just a random shout on this one from me. This isn't a mid-major, but if Northwestern found a way to make a Sweet 16 beating UConn in the process, Chris Collins would get a huge job immediately.
That'd be bad for you, wouldn't it?
I kind of want Chris Collins.
No, I'm saying that if he does that, he's going somewhere else besides Michigan. Like, if Michigan wanted to get in, I'm saying Michigan would have to go up against other people. He loses first round. You think you still get him if you wanted him?
Yeah, that's okay, though. I'm okay with that. Also, Nico Medved is the obvious one here. If Colorado State makes, like, a Sweet 16 run, Nico's going to get a big job pretty quickly. Fam33 says, this is a public service announcement that from now on until Saturday evening, Bluffs is officially renamed to Eastern European Warehouse. No further comment at this time.
Fam spoken.
PSA, Fam speaks, I listen. Go Green 07, are you drinking the Coach Izzo Kool-Aid like Rafael Davis is?
No, I love my dog Rafael, but him acting like this team isn't what it's been the whole season, and that's just going to change because Izzo flipped the page in the calendar, is not Kool-Aid that I like sipping on.
Yeah, I did not listen to the clip that I saw Rafe speaking on why he believes Michigan State's going to make a run. I saw that Rafael Davis is pushing Illinois and Purdue in a national championship game and also Michigan State in the Elite Eight. I also am aware that Rafael Davis unfollowed me on Twitter a couple weeks ago. I was pretty sad at the time because I really like Rafe. I'm getting less sad the more I see that he has three Big Ten teams in his Elite Eight.
Yeah, I mean, he does work for the Big Ten Network, you know.
Got to cash those checks, correct? Right? Like, isn't that the cat's move?
It was up to me, and I was with Big Ten Network. You would see Northwestern in there. You see Nebraska in the Elite Eight. You see all of them.
I think Rafael is phenomenal. Let me be extremely clear. I think he's really, really good. I love his analysis. He's honestly my favorite person on the Big Ten Network. I think he's great. With that said, I don't know how those guys can do the whole, like, pretend the Big Ten is elite thing constantly. I don't know. But then again, we can pretend whatever's elite. Just tell us. We'll do it. Lyric says, I'm an old dog, so this is an obvious yes for me, but I'm curious what you guys think. Is the portal destroying college basketball?
No. Not.
It might be destroying college sports, but I don't like singling out college basketball like that. I think there's a lot of truth in the stuff that Saban has been saying about just the way it has affected players and how they're wired. But got to deal with the rules. That's what it is. Coop said, we could have had Robbie Avila versus Eric Dixon, Kadari Richmond versus Devin Carter, or Rick Pitino versus Jerome Tang. But instead, the committee of morons gives us the still-moving corpse of Virginia versus Mountain West clone number 5.
You'll take Isaac McNeely and you'll like it.
It's a little disrespectful to Colorado State. I think the Mountain West is going to do well in this tournament. Coop says, if you do a recap of this game, I will like it several times so that I can then unlike it several times. Yeah, good. Go ahead and do that with the Virginia-Colorado State recap. It's up on the channel. Why not? Jubui has a meme here. What would you do if you had a time machine? I don't know. I probably would have met my grandmother. And then Ty Berry is in the bottom of the picture.
I miss Ty Berry.
I miss him too. Purdue Boiler 83 says, is Michigan winning this tournament? It's the graphic that Ant and our boy D Turp, who is a paid Discord member, put together of March Madness. It's a bunch of bad basketball teams with Michigan as the one seed. If they're winning that, does that mean they lose the game because they're worse?
Who are the teams in that?
I'm trying, so I can't even pull the graphic up. You can't see it very well in this. West Virginia's in it, Vanderbilt's in it, Georgetown. 10, I think. I don't know. I can't see them all the way. It's tough.
Out of those teams, Michigan actually might win that. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't answer until I know what win means. Guy says, watching Virginia or Chinese waterboarding?
Chinese what? Is that different than regular waterboarding?
I am unequivocally anti-waterboarding, so I would rather watch Virginia than have waterboarding occurring.
For our next sleepers bet, the loser should have to get waterboarded.
Okay. I don't know why you'd want to waterboard yourself. Augie says, Greg, who would Michigan have to hire to make you believe in Michigan basketball again? If they hire Dusty May or Jerome Tang, I think they will likely be a good program again quickly. If they hire Nico Medved, I think they are going to be terrible, very mediocre. If they hire John Calipari, I would buy tickets to the Final Four immediately. That's my belief tiers right now. If they hire Bryce Drew, that's another one that's been thrown around, I will reconsider everything. in a negative way.
Bryce Drew, really?
Yeah, it's the lists are weird right now. Boiler Khan says, how do we feel about Mountain West fans victory lapping the ACC after that Colorado State dub? More power to them. Let them know, Mountain West.
Yeah, I love a good victory lap after you get victory.
Yeah, I love it. Relentless MT says, the world outside of Purdue can say whatever they want about it. It's recent tournament losses. Fans can cry foul about any Boilermaker player or team success as these fans deny their personal deep-rooted jealousy of a stable program that develops its own and has success year after year as of late. But make no mistake, the entire program collectively has not shied away from its failures or goals and has not shrunk in the midst of a trash heaped upon them. As the hurricane of change wrecks destruction upon this beloved game and threatens to drag it into a deep, dark abyss, the eye of calm is over the sport for 6 weeks as competitive chaos warms hearts with Cinderellas and dramatic finishes, and it just may be the whole of college basketball needs Purdue right now more than anyone would care to admit, and it may just be the Purdue's destiny to rise up, prove what can be done the right way with hard work, patience, and perseverance, and lead those who choose not to sell their souls to the abyss through the remainder of the storm, and however slim it may be, provide hope that college basketball will retain its own soul in the process. Boiler up, hammer down.
Okay, two things here. I'm gonna look directly at the camera. Respectfully, college basketball does not need Purdue to win it all. It'd be great for y'all, but let's not act like college basketball is yearning for the Boilermakers to cut down nets. I don't think that's the case. Not saying people hate you. I'm just saying that's not usually what people are waking up saying to themselves. Also, to the Purdue players, staff, anyone who's factoring into March Madness, I hope you know y'all have a lot of pressure and say on a lot of Purdue fans' mentals. This team needs these fans. They need y'all to do something in this tournament. They need it bad. So just know you got the Boiler Nation on your back. They need y'all.
I want to say thank you to Relentless MT for the comment. It was very well written, and a lot of thought went into that, I'm sure. My mother, I love her. Love her to death. She's never made me a snickerdoodle or whatever.
Scotcheroo.
Scotcheroo. Never had it. I love her to death. She does this thing where she will have something rather innocuous happen to her. Like, oh, walk by and see a dime on the ground. Or, oh, do you know that it's Tuesday today? And she will somehow attribute some meaning to something that was just going to happen regardless to feel some added sense of importance and push toward what she wants to believe in her heart. That's a thing that is going on with one very unique fan base right now that just feels very self-important sometimes. And that's okay. I love my mother and I love this fan base, but it's unique to my mother. I haven't met anyone else in my family that does that. Haven't met any other fan bases that think it is needed to save the sport for them to overcome their obstacles and failures and the evil slander of opposing fans who cry foul. It's just basketball. It's just, yeah. Just basketball. Just win the game or lose the game. Malik Perry says 100% just Carter. You can't say anything about me being proud of my team when you're only around when we're winning, but not when the diehard fans are always there. So salute to you, and you can't be a chameleon. You have to grind to blend in, little cat.
Ouch.
Is there any college events you two have ever wanted or want to go to, no matter the sport? This is also from Lee. I want to go to the Maui Invitational.
Yeah, same.
That's all. That's for all the videos and Missing Friday. It's a small price to pay for all the videos we're getting. Thank you, Malik. I love you, Malik. Boiler in the Void said, is there any way you guys see an outcome where Duquesne wins a game or two in the tournament? Because I think they have a real chance.
No.
I can't see it either. I'm sorry. Purdue Boiler 83 says, can you imagine the live game thread if Purdue and Illinois met in the NCAA title game?
That'd be the end of the Discord.
I need them to get to a Final Four, and then I need one of them to lose so that the other one isn't there.
Yeah.
Ryan the Lion says, remember to shout out Holden Fiedewood. He joined, but he didn't get a shout out yet. That was just timing for the record. I didn't miss him. When I went back while we did that earlier this episode, he joined right after the previous day's episode was recorded. So shout out to Holden. Appreciate you being here. Hyena Scar says, Psycho T was quoted as saying, Longwood isn't big enough for UConn. Your direct thoughts, is bigger better?
Did he actually say that?
I don't know.
Bigger is better.
I'm going to leave that to you to be the expert on. I think that's all the comments today. Appreciate everybody in the comments in the Discord. This was a really fun week. What's going on?
My Adam's apple is sticking out farther than it usually does, and it's concerning me.
I've had like a lump on the side of my throat this week. I don't know what's going on with that.
If you actually do, you should probably get that checked out.
And it's, I was being dramatic by calling it a lump.
It might be in flared lymph nodes. So just make sure you monitor that the next couple of days.
Are you WebMD-ing me right now? What's that?
I mean, I have a little bit of I'm a big WebMD guy. Like, so if anything actually happens, I pretty much know about it. I'm not saying I am a doctor, but like, I'm like a step below, I guess.
What's an inflared lymph node?
I mean, it could be for a couple reasons. It could be maybe it's like a allergic reaction to maybe something you ate that's different from your diet. Maybe all the talking that you've been doing on the podcast, the previous we've been doing, just very, you know, strenuous on your throat and your lymph nodes. Just causes an irritation of them, and that irritation can cause like lumps and things like that. But it's fine. Just something you want to monitor moving forward.
Okay, appreciate that, Dr. Cart. Let's get to the show today. A couple months ago, we did a segment called the Final Four Readiness Assessment, the Final Four Readiness Checklist. I went through the top 25 teams and every other team in the NCAA tournament, and I put them back through the March Readiness Assessment now that the season has ended, tally up how many teams can make a Final Four. For those that missed the original segment, the theory was this. There's seven categories, and in order for your team to make a Final Four, you need to have five of the seven categories checked off. We backtracked this. Last year's Final Four was wild. There were four teams nobody saw coming. All four hit the threshold for this. And going back previous years, it tracks as well. I went back about 5 years. Every team that made a Final Four, you could track to these seven criteria, five of seven or more being true. So I wanted to quantify this because the first time we did this, we had categories that were like, do you trust their starters? Do you trust their star? Do you trust their coach? Do you trust their coach in March? Those are obviously subjective categories. So I put a little quantification behind these today, and then I ran the numbers to every team in the tournament, and I got 14 teams that can make a Final Four. I would like to share my findings with you.
Please.
So the updated categories are, do you trust their starters, meaning they have a clear identity that transforms itself into the results of being either a top 10 offense, a top 10 defense, or a top 40 team in both? Basically, you either need to be elite in offense, elite in defense, or good enough in both. That would tell me that I trust your starters. Do you trust their star? Meaning, do they have an NBA player? Do they have an All-American? Or do they have their conference player of the year? One of those three. Do they have a legitimate star? Has their coach won their league before? That, to me, tells me we should trust your coach. Has their coach won their league before? Has their coach made a Final Four before? Tells me, should we trust their coach in March? Do they have a bench guy who A, either averages 8 points a game, or B, is a future star that obviously will when given a bigger role? Mm-hmm. That's the only subjective one. Category six, these two are taken straight from the book from the first time. Six straight wins after January 1st. I need to see that you can win six straight games. The mental hurdle of winning six straight games. And then do you have two top 75 road wins? I need to see that you can win on the road. You can win in hostile environments. You can win in weird places. Those are the seven criteria. 14 teams qualified, and we could, I don't think we need to go through everyone, but we can if there's one you want to hear about. And then a lot of teams you would expect got cut. So could I give you the ones that got cut first?
Yeah, before you do that, did we do that you only had to have 6 out of 7, or did we say you had to have 7 out of 7?
You need 5 out of 7. That's the threshold.
Five. Okay.
It's harder than you think. And maybe we might be able to do like you need 6 out of 7 or 7 out of 7 to win it all. But this is just make a Final Four. Are you ready to make a Final Four this run?
I love the readiness. We might have to like actually patent this or something.
So here's the teams that got cut. And we could literally backtrack any of these just to like prove that they didn't make the cut. Arizona is cut. Iowa State is cut. Duke is cut. Illinois is cut. Creighton is cut. Alabama is cut. BYU, Wisconsin, St. Mary's, Michigan State, New Mexico, Kansas, and Texas Tech are cut. Those are the top 25 teams. So I think how many was that? 11 top 25 teams, 13, something like that. Those top 25 teams have been cut from can you make a Final Four run?
Some of the, there's surprising ones in there.
Yeah, do you want to flesh any of these out? I don't think we need to do all of them, but we could
look. No, the thing is, I think I know what most of them probably are. Like Arizona probably didn't have the road wins, right?
I can check. I can check on that right now. I didn't jot down the specific notes.
Tommy Lloyd hasn't coached a Final Four. He did win the conference. They didn't win 75 games.
Tommy Lloyd, Arizona does have 6 straight wins. They do have 2 top 75 road wins. They beat Utah and Colorado, so that's 2. They do not have a Final Four. They do have a coach who won his league, so it's 3 mm-hmm. of 4. They are top 40 in both offense and defense, so
mm-hmm.
4. So they must. That means they didn't qualify for trust their star, and that means they didn't qualify for bench guy 8 points per game.
When we did that before, KJ Lewis and Jaden Bradley and those guys kind of factored into that. So the 8-point criteria just is going to cut things out.
We had to add some criteria. Yep.
All right. I think that I'm fine with that because I think it cuts out a little bit of subjectivity, which I think caused the stir when we first did this. So,
and unless it was Caleb Love named the Pac-12 Player of the Year, because if he was, then Arizona is in.
He was named Pac-12 Player of the Year, yes.
Was he actually?
Yes.
Are we allowed to overrule that because we don't trust him?
I trust him, though. That's the thing.
Okay, so then Arizona has to be added. Arizona has been uncut, and they are now in the top 15. I had Arizona not getting that point because I don't trust Caleb Love.
All right. Well, I knew Zona should be in there.
You fact-checked the right one here. The others, I think, are more self-explanatory. Let's do Illinois, just for example. Illinois is elite in offense, so they qualify there. Do you trust their star? Yes. Terrence Shannon was a future NBA player. Has their coach won his league? Yes, Brad Underwood has. 3 for 3. Has he made a Final Four? No. Do they have a bench guy, 8 points a game, and or a future star? No. So you're 3 for 5. Do they have 6 straight wins after January 1st? No, they do not. That's where they fall short. Illinois had 4 of 7.
Got it. Because most of those did make sense to me. The last one I want to do before we get into the teams just for fun, though. Can you do Creighton for me real quick?
Oh, your national championship pick?
No, my Final Four pick.
I thought you picked him to win a national championship.
No.
Oh, yeah. The Bleacher Report stream, they were just your top team that could win a title. But
yeah,
that was, yeah, mismatched a little bit. Okay. Creighton. They are top 40 in both offense and defense, so we trust their starters. I do trust their star. I'm going to give that – this is kind of up in the air, but I think between Alexander and Shireman, they have someone who will play in the NBA. So that's two. Has their coach won his league before? Greg McDermott has, 3 for 3. Has their coach made a Final Four before? No, he has not. Do they have a bench guy averaging 8 points a game or a future star? No, they do not. 3 for 5. Do they have 6 straight wins after January 1st? No, they do not. And they do have the road wins, so they were 4 for 7.
Okay.
Sure. A lot of the 6 straight wins killed a lot of teams.
Yeah, it does.
That's and tough. The coaching. 6 straight wins and coaching killed a lot of teams. All right, so let me reveal. We have 15 teams now that we added Arizona. Here's the 15 teams who can make a Final Four this season. UConn, Houston, Purdue, North Carolina, all 4 one seeds, Auburn, Tennessee, Marquette, Baylor, Gonzaga, San Diego State, Kentucky, Colorado,
ooh,
Arizona, and then 2 that are outside the KenPom top 25. There's 2 teams that qualified. Florida Atlantic and Utah State.
Ooh.
Purdue fans, hold on to your seats, Purdue fans, because you might get Utah State in the second round, and this might be more dangerous than it appears on paper.
Oh, Gregory, I like this exercise. Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. I think there's some obvious ones in there that I don't have any more questions on. I think the one I do want to ask about, you know what? Yeah, let me get Utah State breakdown there.
Utah State breakdown. Let's make sure I got this here. Okay, so top 40, do we trust their starters? We had to give them no because they're not top 40 defense. Trust their star? Yes, great Osabor. We absolutely trust star, superstar. Mm-hmm. Has the coach won his league, Danny Sprinkle? Yes, he has. He won his league at Montana State last year. So two for three. Has their coach made a Final Four? No, he has not. Two for four. Do they have a bench guy averaging 8 points a game? Yes, they do. I will give you his name in just a moment. They had a really balanced. I remember looking this up. They had like seven guys who.
I was going to say, yeah, when I did the preview with did I do Utah State preview? I think I did. I was looking at their points per game. They have very balanced. Evan Mia loves Utah State.
Yeah, Josh Udugie. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Averages 8.5 points per game off the bench for Utah State. So 3 for 5. They need the last two. Have they won 6 straight after January 1st? Why, yes, they have. From February 20th to March 14th, the first game of the Mount West tournament, they won 6 straight games, 5 to end the regular season, including wins over San Diego State and New Mexico, and then the first win of their conference tournament. And then do they have 2 top 75 road wins? Yes, they do. They beat Boise State and UNLV on the road, who both cracked the top 75. So Utah State is 5 for 7.
UNLV is a top 75 win, huh?
72nd per count.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. That's crazy.
Utah State, yeah, cracks it just barely. That's the formula. If you're going to be a team without a coach who has like made a deep run before, the formula is exactly what Utah State is. Like, do you have a bench guy and did you win a bunch of games? And Utah State did. So I believe. Florida Atlantic is an interesting one, but they qualify mostly because Dusty May made it before. So they get both the coaching points and they have the talent. I think that makes sense. That's a dangerous spot for UConn. Colorado was another one that surprised me. But I guess it makes sense when you look at like they made top 40 in both offense and defense. So we trust their starters.
They trust their star.
Trust their star. They have an NBA player. Tad Boyle has won the league before. He won the league in the Pac-12 a couple years ago in 2021. So 3 for 3. He hasn't made a Final Four. They did win 6 straight to end the regular season. They won 8 straight actually heading into the Pac-12 conference tournament. And then they have a bunch of good road wins as well. They beat Oregon and Washington on the road this year.
Do they have someone on the bench that averages 8?
I don't even think I looked it up because I saw they got to the 5 threshold, but I can check and see if they make.
I mean, it's kind of a cheat code for them because I think Cody Williams has been coming off the bench since he got back from injury. So they have an NBA player come off the bench.
Yeah, so there you go. So they're 6 for 7. Colorado may be more dangerous than they think.
Colorado, interesting. Well, shit. Hopefully that holds up because we're recording this before the first four playing game. So, like, we need that to, like, hold up.
Yeah, sorry we just spent a bunch of time talking about Colorado. They'll probably lose. Card nailed it. All right, so I feel good about that. I think our national champion is going to come from that 15. Dare I say, I think all 4 Final Four teams are going to come from that 15.
I don't know if you know this, and I don't want to put you on the spot. Was there anyone that went 7 for 7?
I think it would just be UConn.
Because Paint hasn't been to a Final Four, right?
Paint hasn't been to a Final Four. Kelvin Sampson. I'm trying to think where Houston fell short.
Why do I feel like Florida Atlantic's very, very close to 7 for 7 too? Because they won the league last year, I'm pretty sure. I think they won
Was John L the player of the year?
Yes.
Are we positive on that? Because I don't think they have an NBA guy.
Oh, I think I want to say he was co-player of the year, but let me double check that. They're in the American, correct?
Yeah.
America.
Actually, I don't. Florida Atlantic doesn't have 2 road wins. Now I'm remembering that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
They beat they beat North Texas, but they didn't get another good road win. So.
Arizona was a neutral, wasn't it?
Arizona was neutral. Yep, doesn't count.
No, even though the game was in Arizona, wasn't it?
Doesn't count.
All right. Okay.
Upgrade. Right. Yeah, I think my money says that all 4 of our Final Four teams will come from that pool of 15 teams: UConn, Houston, Purdue, Auburn, Tennessee, North Carolina, Arizona, Marquette, Baylor, Gonzaga, San Diego State, Kentucky, Colorado, Florida Atlantic, and Utah State. We'll see if I'm right. We'll see if I'm wrong. the last thing that's interesting to me is Gonzaga qualified and St. Mary's did not.
Same, yeah, that I hate that.
Interesting. I don't like it either, but it's interesting to draw as a takeaway. We'll see. Okay, to topic number two here. I want three bold predictions from you for the first weekend. We've done our brackets before, but maybe things have changed. Give me three bold predictions on things that will happen this weekend. They can be as simple as this team's going to make the Sweet 16. They can be as complicated as Hunter Dickinson's going to leave mid-game and tweet with 10 minutes left in the game that he's in the portal.
Got you. Also, John L. Davis was player of the year in the American, co-player of the year with Youngblood from South Florida.
So, lovely.
Done. Lovely. For starters, I'm going to go the Texas Longhorns are going to make a Sweet 16. That includes them knocking off Tennessee in the next round if they win their first game against whoever plays the playing game. I know it's not bold, but I'm buying DeSue stock. I'm buying Ace Smith stock. I'm buying Tyrese Hunter to remember that he's good and play well. He has played well in the tournament before with Iowa State. I'm looking for them to make a Sweet 16. And I think a lot of people have been losing first round. Second. Where do I want to go with this? I don't know if this is super bold.
Who did you just say would make a Sweet 16? I'm sorry.
Texas.
Okay. Yeah. Just let me add that. I'm sorry. I like blanked on that for a second. And then I heard Tyrese Hunter and I was like, oh yeah, you're talking about Texas. My Rodney Terry, Juwan Howard theory is cooking right now. Can I just get that off for the world to see? So please. Rodney Terry inherits Chris Beard's team. That's what happened. Rodney Terry immediately goes to an Elite Eight. We don't know what to make of it. He deserves the job. He's a good coach, we think. Good guy. Love it. Juwan Howard inherited John Beilein's players, went to an Elite Eight. You know what happened next year? Kind of underwhelming season. A roster a lot of people liked. Underwhelming season, right? That happened for Rodney Terry this year. That happened for Juwan Howard the year after they made the Elite Eight. Their NCAA tournament draw card. Michigan got Nico Medved's Colorado State team in the first round. And if they won, they got Rick Barnes's Tennessee team. That is the exact draw that Rodney Terry has right now. Colorado State, Nico Medved into Rick Barnes, Tennessee. Juwan Howard won two games, made a Sweet 16, and everybody was like, oh, he's still got the magic touch. The disappointing season doesn't matter. Rodney Terry, if he does that, the narrative will become, wow, Rodney Terry's a good March coach. We'll see what happens. It was the following year where everything fell apart for Michigan. I think there's a very real chance Rodney Terry, Juwan Howard parallels are just one for one. I can't believe they have the same draw.
That is kind of crazy. And only you would make those parallels, Greg. That's what makes you special. I just want you to know that. Second here, St. Mary's is going to make an Elite Eight.
These are first weekend predictions. You can't predict beyond the Sweet 16 right now.
I can't?
No.
Did you say that?
Yeah, this is first weekend predictions.
And I just chose to ignore it, didn't I?
Sure as hell did.
How do you work with me sometimes?
Well, I just ignored your entire first prediction, so it's okay.
Okay, that's fine. All right, well, you know, let me not get ahead of myself here.
Deck, you can use the prediction still. Just say Sweet 16.
Okay. last one. I am going to stay strong on this. It's between these two. It's a tie right here. Kansas is not losing first round to Samford, even without McCullough. I want that to be known. They are winning that first round game. It was popular when they had McCullough. It's even more popular now. They will win that game. In conjunction with that, my bonus pick, Wisconsin is winning their first round game against James Madison.
Yuck. Yuck. Yuck, yuck, yuck. I respect those picks. I've heard the reasonings. I just disagree with them strongly. All right. Predictions. Two of the top eight teams, so all the one seeds and two seeds, are gone by the Sweet 16.
Which two?
Not going to predict which two. I'm just going to leave it at two. That's a relatively safe prediction. But I think North Carolina could lose, and I think Tennessee could lose.
Oh, okay.
Those are the two. But there could be other two. Marquette could go down to, like, Florida in the second round. I don't know. going there. Number two for me, both Alabama and Auburn lose in the first round. I've had this prediction for a week. I keep going back to it. I'm not running from the moment. They gave me Charleston over Alabama. They gave me Yale over Auburn. I love the matchup for both teams. Rain Smith's going to hit 9 threes. Yale is going to Danny Wolf Auburn to death, drag Jani Broome out of the paint. They're going down. They're going down, and I want credit. I want this clipped when it happens. And my third and final prediction is that we get a buzzer beater in the Kentucky-Oakland game. We get a game winner from some, like, it is a final possession, need a shot to win the game, and we get a pure good old-fashioned buzzer beater from.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Someone.
If that's your logic, then you, sir, are saying that Blake Lantman is going to hit a game winner or Jack Golke is going to hit a game winner with Reed Sheppard and Rob Dillingham on the floor.
It could be Reed Sheppard or Rob Dillingham who hit the game winner. I don't know.
Sure. Okay. I know you're saying that, but I'm saying with how your bracket plays on the way you picked, that's what you're siding with.
Worst case scenario, it could be an Adu Thiero buzzer beater. That would stink.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want that. All right. Those were fun. I enjoy those predictions. Final topic. I feel obligated to do this one final time. We all season long have done this about every single week. Our updated Final Four predictions, Cart. You and I have done 1,000 streams together, and I think we've held strong to our original final picks since, or Final Four picks since the bracket came out. But you said you haven't filled out a formal bracket yet, so you could go off script here. Who are your official Final Four teams this season?
Kentucky, Creighton, Arizona. UConn. I have UConn playing Kentucky in the national championship game. Kentucky beating UConn to cut down the nets.
All right. I like your Final Four. I have UConn. I have St. Mary's. I have Houston. I have Purdue. I have Purdue beating Houston. I have UConn beating St. Mary's. And I have Purdue beating UConn. We held
They're
strong.
They're doing it for
we
everyone.
Held strong. Yeah, we held strong. I thought one of us would waver. I really did since the other day. But says something about us, I guess. We're stubborn. Is that what it says?
That exercise, all your teams fit in the exercise. Actually, no, they don't, because St. Mary's doesn't, right?
They do not.
And Creighton
all of yours fit, right?
I don't think Creighton fits, right?
Oh, yeah, not Creighton.
Yeah.
Should we combine? Should we do the exercise? And if we did the exercise, we would need UConn. Or San Diego State or Auburn or FAU, but we can do UConn. We would need Houston, Kentucky, Marquette, or Colorado. So we could argue about Houston or Kentucky.
Yeah. The only one I would have to do is I would have to sub in Purdue for Creighton.
And I would have to sub in North Carolina, Baylor, or Arizona for St. Mary's.
Yeah. Tennessee doesn't fit in this, does it? Right?
Tennessee's in. That? Tennessee's in. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So Tennessee's in. Okay.
A lot of teams. Purdue, Tennessee, Gonzaga, and Utah State. So Purdue might have to go through to get to a Final Four. They might have to go through three teams that fit our Final Four criteria just to get there.
There's even more in UConn's region.
A little dicey. We'll see. Okay. Fun show today. Fun shows all week. Appreciate your effort on the producer recaps and appreciate everybody watching. We just did the highest views in a day in channel history again. We've set that record 3 times in the last 10 days. Things are very, very good for us right now. We appreciate all the support that everybody has been giving us, and seems people are enjoying the content, which is all we ever set out to do. Warms our hearts. One big thing presented by Big B Cart. What do you got?
I got to show y'all what I got for my birthday, man. Because, like, this is my first time trying it, too. So, y'all are going to see if, like, I have the acumen to do this. It's the chopper I was talking about, right? So you get your cutting board, you get your onion, you cut it in half. Make sure you tuck your thumb when you cut. Greg, you're not paying attention. When you cut, right, you want to tuck your fingers, because that way you don't cut your fingers or nick your fingers accidentally. So you're going to cut through your onion. Okay, got half our onion here. Take off the little extra things on the outside, because you don't want the skin all up in there, right? You don't want that nastiness. Okay, so you take your half of onion, put it into the cutter device, all right? Y'all are going to see this right here. And then you push down, and you cut your onion. Wait, I got to make sure it's on there. Hold on. All right. Can I get a countdown, G?
No.
All right. 3, 2, 1. Would you look at that, brother? Freshly chopped onions that I'm probably going to put in a little ground turkey tonight when I make my meal.
Congratulations.
Also, I'm not totally sure here. I might have broke this.
I'm going to move on. My one big thing is that when you're hosting a watch party, when you're just getting ready to sit on your couch and watch games, you could either use your own chopper to chop your own onions, break said chopper, hurt your finger in the process, and then use those onions on some just average tasting meal that you pretend tastes great. Or you could go to your local Sbarro or the local Sbarro of a town one state over from you that's a good hour and 20-minute drive, pick up a full-size cheese pizza with a side of 6 breadsticks. Don't forget the sticks. And bring them home, open it up, get a plate, have 2 pieces of cheese and 2 sticks lined up 10 minutes before tip with a beer in hand. Carter, put the knife down. That's the show this week. Good luck to your team. Have fun watching the madness. We'll have previews and recaps up for every single game along the way. And we'll be back on the Sleepers Podcast on Monday of next week. Thanks for watching.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.